after 45 minutes, he starts on my wife. And he says, and that haole woman you married, what's she doing here in Hawaii? Tell her, go back to her own place. And that's it, man. I stood up. I said, why don't you go to a very warm place immediately? That's what I said. I'm not gonna translate that for you.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, A Different Drum. When you become a born-again Christian, you begin to march to the beat of a different drum. You develop new desires and new motivations, but there can still be some old habits that need to be broken. After all, we're all still a work in progress. Today, Pastor Wayne will be talking about new ways of thinking, new ways of acting, and new choices that we should be making. Here he is with a message entitled, A Different Drum.
You know, God has made us to be sons and daughters of his kingdom. There's no dual citizenships in this. We must choose. Now, we're naturalized citizens of the world because the Bible will tell us something that we've gained from or inherited from our ancestors because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We're born into, naturalized citizens into the world. But now by choice and by faith in the Son of God, he then causes us to be born again to a living hope, the scripture says. And now we have changed citizenships. But at that point we think, but if I'm a new creation, what am I supposed to look like? Who am I? Because I know this one here, but what am I supposed to be? Who am I? Where do I find who I'm supposed to be? And you see, God is going to speak to us about our new identity. His name was Russell Christoph, and he is right now a teacher, a kindergarten teacher in Antioch, California. In reading this article, he was going through a supermarket, as it says, looking for a Bloody Mary mix when he came across this glass jar of Taster's Choice coffee crystals with a picture of a man and a coffee cup there that they've been using for years. And he looked at it and he said, that's me. You see, 15 years before, he was one of the many that had posed for a coffee shot to be put on a label. They paid him $200 and said, if we choose your picture, we'll let you know and we'll pay you more. Well, he heard nothing from them. They had chosen his picture. They'd been using it for 15 years. He then went to the company and said, hey, that's my picture and I haven't gotten anything. Well, they offered him $100,000. He turned it down. It went all the way up to $1.8 million. He turned it down. He continued to sue. Just recently, a jury awarded this kindergarten teacher, listen to this, $15.6 million. And I read that and I thought, man, it pays to recognize yourself. Whoa. And I thought, Lord, we need to recognize ourselves because we've been changed in citizenship. And then I began to understand that, you see, the Bible here is sort of like a mirror of what citizens of heaven should be looking like. It gives us the character qualities, the way we should think, the way we are, our heart's desires. And as we read, we should say, that's me. In fact, just yesterday's devotion, Psalm 15, it actually entitles it, Description of a Citizen of Zion, or a Citizen of Heaven. Listen to this. Who, Lord, may abide in your tent, and who may dwell on your holy hill? Which means, who are these that are citizens of heaven? And then describes them. Well, he who walks with integrity, works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart, doesn't deceive others, does not slander with his tongue, and does not listen to gossip about his neighbor, doesn't take up a reproach against his friend. He honors the Lord, fears God, and he's a man of his word that even if it hurts, he sticks with his commitment. These who do these things will not be shaken. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Now that should be me, but if you're anything like me, you'd say, but it ain't. I failed this test quite a bit. And then I was reading something out of the book of 2 Timothy, and it was describing the people in the world, especially in the last days. Listen to this. In the last days, it'll be tough times, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money rather than lovers of God. They'll be boastful and abusive, disobedient to parents. They will be described as ungrateful and unholy, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they'll hold to a form of godliness, but they'll deny its true power, have nothing to do with them. And I read that and I thought, oh, I did better on the second test than I did the first. You see, sometimes even though our hearts have been saved, sometimes our habits haven't. I still hold the residue of some past tendencies. Now, my heart's been saved, but I still got some habits that I got to get rid of. Oh, it's not my heart anymore. No, I don't want that. That's not me. That's not what I want to do. But you see, there's sometimes we have some traits that we got to get rid of. And you know what? It's not just a problem with us in this transformation or transitioning season. It's not only a problem with us. It was a problem with those in the day where Peter the Apostle wrote this epistle that we'll be reading from. So at the top of your notes, let's read what he says to those that might be struggling with the same thing. Let's read it out loud. Go. Dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here. So I warn you to keep away from the evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world. Yeah, he's saying keep your behavior right. Even though others don't buy into it, stay strong because one day truth will prove out. But then he says, you are to live here as foreigners and aliens. You know, the Bible's trying to remind us something. Here it is. Listen carefully. You're an alien. Do you know that? That's right. Some wives are looking at their husbands saying, well, hey, he knows you. Well, he just called you an alien. No, not just them. We are all aliens here. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're an alien. Go ahead, tell them. Some of you look like you're enjoying this a little too much, but... but see, the Bible says we're a new creation, no longer citizens of this world. We say, when, how do we know then who we're supposed to be? How do we find out? Because I know that I've been transferred and I'm a new citizen, but who am I? What am I supposed to look like? Well, Peter talks about some traits of these who are citizens of heaven and sojourners here on the earth. And here's the first that he's going to talk to us about. Would you write in number one, aliens think differently. Would you write that in? Aliens think differently. Now, I said they think differently. They don't think weirdly. They don't think religiously. They don't think condemningly, condescendingly. They don't think legalistically. No. Let's read how they are to think. Would you read it with me? Go. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. Now, I want you to see that he says, don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. You see, when I was in the world, I didn't know any better. That's all I knew. So that's how I functioned. But when I repented of that and saw who Jesus was and gave my life to him, he transferred me. I was born again to a living hope. Now, I still have some tendencies because I've done this stuff for so long. It's habits, but it's just like tendencies, like forms. It's not me anymore. It's like forms that you pour concrete into. Well, the concrete's out and the forms are still there, but it doesn't fit me anymore. I don't fit those forms anymore, but they're still around. I have a tendency to slip back into them. No, not because my heart's there. No, that's not my heart. My heart is here, but I have a tendency to slip back. That's what he's saying. How many of you would agree, even though we're citizens of heaven, sometimes it's easy to slip back into our old ways? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, we all feel that way. But it's not us. Remember, that's not me anymore. Nope. Haven't there been times something will come into your mind and you'll go, where in the world did that thought come from? Yeah, see, that's not me. No. Or I'll slip and I'll do something and I'll think, oh man, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to become. That's not what I wanted to say. That's not what I want to be. But you need to recognize that, and you will more and more. Before I came to know the Lord, I would swear every other word, and you know, it didn't even faze me. I didn't even recognize I was talking like that. But after I become a Christian, I'd say that word and I think, whoa, where did that come from? See, all of a sudden, it doesn't fit me anymore, and things start to fall away. But sometimes I'll slip and I'll think, that's not what I want to be. No. Now, let me tell you the worst thing in the world to do when you slip, because those, it's not your heart, it's tendencies, it's old habits that need to die away. It's just the old forms. You don't fit there anymore. It's like clothes that don't fit. But sometimes we'll slip. Now, here's the worst thing to do. When you slip, the worst thing to do is make an excuse for it. Defend yourself, become defensive, blame somebody else for it. You don't want to do that. You don't want to defend it. You don't want to deny it. You don't want to lie about it. You don't want to cover it up. You don't want to defend yourself, make an excuse or blame. You know why I said that word? The reason I said that word, because you brought it right out of me. It came right out. Well, I never even knew it was in there. You brought them out. The worst thing to do is defend yourself, because you see, if you defend those old slipped actions, if you defend it, you know what happens to those tendencies? They harden because you're defending them. Well, that's just how I am. That's just how I am. All of a sudden, it starts to calcify. That which was once a tendency starts to become a trait. It starts to galvanize. It starts to become more solidified. You don't want to solidify it. You want to vaporize those old tendencies. So here's the best thing to do. The best thing to do is when you slip, don't make excuses. Don't blame anybody else. Don't defend it. Here it is. The best thing to do is repent as fast as you can. Just repent and say, oh, that's not me. That's not what I want to become. That's not how I want to think. No, I repent. You see, repentance is the most powerful tool to dissolve or make soluble old tendencies that are still hanging around from your old life, but you don't fit them anymore. But it's like a rut that's easy to get slipped back into it. And you must recognize it right away by saying, oh, that's not me anymore. That's not what I want to be. And not make an excuse, not blame somebody. Instead, what? Repent. Say repent. What? Yeah, because that is God's greatest gift to you to keep you free from getting those old tendencies turned into solidified, calcified traits. And the sooner you do it, the better. One of the reasons why the devil will work really hard and work overtime to get you not to repent. Anything else except repent. Anything else, deny, deceive, whatever, but just don't repent, is because the enemy knows that if you don't repent, all those tendencies start to calcify. They get harder and more solidified, and it's harder and harder to break them after a while. So he does that, you see, because here it is. The devil may not be able to destroy your life, because your salvation is held in the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did, not what you do. But you see, if he can't destroy your life in that way, here's what he's going to do. He's going to cause you and me to refuse to repent. You need counseling. That's your fault. That's you do. And we start to defend ourselves until these old tendencies, which would have been solved and soluble and vanish, instead they become increasingly calcified because of my defense of them, and say, well, that's how I am. That's how I am. And they become more and more traits until one day you'll wake up and you'll look at yourself and you will have become someone you despise. You become someone you never wanted to become. And you'll say, that's not me, but I can't get out of it now. You understand? Because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and finally destroy. Because when you feel that way about yourself, you become someone you despise, someone you don't like, someone you don't want to live with. It's going to affect everything about your relationships and your family and your next generation. So the best thing to do is when you slip, not excuse or defend, it's what? Repent. That's the most powerful tool to get rid of it so that you'll move on. That's why these old tendencies don't fit, but the devil would love to cram you into them and make you fit. Let's read what the next scripture says. Go. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to Him and is perfect. By a complete change of your mind, aliens think differently. But at times, you're gonna be in a world, they think so different from you, and you'll want to change the way you think just to be accepted. And God is saying, no, don't. Stay right, because the truth will win out. You can't conform to the world. Stay, but transform by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Keep thinking the way sojourners think. Let's read the next one out of the Phillips. Go. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own. Yeah, there's a mold. There's a magnetic pull of the world. It's like a vortex that's pulling you into its current. And we have to be able to resist that and say, wait a minute, I don't think that way anymore. I don't live that way. No, my heart is here. No, and you think differently. Oh man, you'll be around people that think real different, and you'll have a tendency to want to change, even though you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. You think, well, in order to be accepted by them, there's a story of this guy, two guys wanting a job. It's a Portuguese guy and a Haole guy. And there's one job and two guys, they're waiting in the waiting room and they're kind of bantering with each other. And the Haole guy's a real smart guy and the Portuguese guy is Portuguese guy. And they're talking and the Portuguese guy says, I'm going to get the job, not you, brother. I'm going to get the job. There's only one job and two people, so you out of here, man. There's only two kind of people in the world, Portuguese and wannabes, and you're neither, so you out of here. And the Haole guy says, now hold on. No, there's a job there and one of us will get. Just then, the personnel guy comes out and he's a Portuguese. So the first Portuguese goes, hey, Sousa, how's it, bro? How's it? So the personnel guy says, well, as you know, there's just like the kind one job and two people. So one of you have to go home without one job. So I don't know who that is. So I'm going to let you determine that, you see. So I'm going to give you the kind like four questions. And the one who answers the most of the questions going to get the job. All right. First Portuguese says, all right. And the Haole guy says, great, no problem. Go right ahead. So the personnel says, all right, here the first question. Now, this one for you, Holy Boy, you answer the first one. All right, ready? Here it is. What is the capital of Washington? And the Holy guy says, is that state or D.C.? Wrong, he said, wrong. It's not state or D.C. He said, no, I just need to know, is it the state or D.C.? Wrong, it's not state or D.C. And the Portuguese guy raises his hand, so the personal guy says, what is it? What is the capital of Washington? The Portuguese guy goes, capital W. That's the capital of Washington. That's right. You get him. And the Haole guy going, whoa, hold on. Man, what are you thinking? Sorry. He got the first one. You give him not a chance. Here, not a chance. Here, the second question is, what kind trail does a deranged person take through the woods? The Haole guy says, what? Deranged person in the woods? First of all, he should be in a mental health clinic or a support group, not in the woods. Wrong, he said, wrong. Turns to the Portuguese guy. Tell me, what is the trail that a deranged person takes through the woods? And the Portuguese guy goes, psychopath. That's right. Take the psychopath. Haole guy's going, no way. What are you guys thinking? Hey, here's one more question. Here's the third question. This one's a math question. Well, the Haole guy goes, whoa, mathematics. I got mathematics. You can't even spell mathematics. What is pi r squared? The Haole guy goes, no problem. That is a mathematical formula to find the area of a circle. And since pi is 3.1416, you multiply that by the radius squared, which is half of the diameter, that gives you the area of the circle. Personnel guy goes, whoa, that don't even sound right. That's wrong. I don't know what you say. turns to the Portuguese guy, what is pi r squared? And the Portuguese guy says, pies are not square, pies are round, cakes are square. That's right, that's right. The holy guy is going, no way. Pretty soon he's kind of wondering, should I think like them? What is, am I wrong? Here's the final question. Personnel guy says, holy guy says, man, I don't know. Am I thinking right or what is going on? Here's the final question. Here it is. What is the Hawaiian word for forest? Holy guy said, I didn't realize language was a part of the test. Oh, stop whining and try, try. Holy guy goes, Hawaiian word for forest? I don't know. Aloha, everything here in Hawaii is aloha this, aloha that. And the Portuguese guy on the side said, no, you stupid, aloha is one airline. Oh. Holy guy goes, wow. Personnel guy says, okay, tell me you try. What is the Hawaiian word for forest? The Portuguese guy goes, choke trees. That's right, choke trees. By this time, the holy guy's going, am I thinking right or wrong? Then the personnel guy says, okay, Portuguese, you get that job. Holy, you go home. And the holy guy says, man, I tell you, wait a minute. What is going on? You guys thinking so strange. That's right. We might think strange, but you're not going to get one job if you don't come like us. You see, even though you're around people that think so different, sometimes you're thinking the way a citizen should, but you're after a while, you go, man, everybody's thinking this way. Maybe I should. Everybody's doing it. You've heard that. Maybe I should. And what God is saying is don't change the way you think. Make sure you're thinking like a citizen of heaven and stay with the truth. Even though after a while you think, what is going on? Stay with the truth because the Bible says one day it'll come around. The truth will stand. The truth will stand. Yeah, you're going to be in a place where, you know, the forces, the vortex, or as it were, pulls you. But here's how the enemy works, and it's so insidious. He'll tempt you to do his thing. And when you buckle your knees and do it, he laughs at you. How many times your friends will be around, they'll say, come on, come on, do this, do that. And he's, no, I'm a Christian. Nah, come on, come on. And you do it, and they go, what? I thought you was one Christian. Well, look what you're doing now. It's interesting where people have that sense where, come on, come on, and they pull you, and as soon as you buckle your knees, they nail you. That happened when I was 32 years old. I remember the first, it was almost like the first time I actually shook hands with the devil. I was just a year or so into pastoring in Hilo, and a Monday morning, I went into the office, and I thought, I'll just have a little quiet time. And I was in the office studying, when a guy that I don't know where he came from walked right into the office, walked right through the doors, came through my, opened the door, and just starts berating me. He just starts saying, you so stupid. Not only you, all you church people, you say this and you don't do it. How come you don't do this? And I, you know, you're thinking, you got to be nice to this guy. So yes, thank you. Very good. Yes. And so I thought, you know, he'd be gone, but he kept going 45 minutes. Kept nailing me again, nailing me. And you should do it. You guys not doing this. You just, and 45 minutes, by this time, I'm getting a little tired on the inside, and he's wearing me down. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're done, dude. Get out of here. And you, but on the outside, yes, hallelujah. After 45 minutes, he starts on my wife. And he says, and that holy woman you married, what's she doing here in Hawaii? Tell her, go back to her own place. And that's it, man. I stood up and I looked and I used different words and I'm going to tell you, but I said, why don't you go to a very warm place immediately? That's what I said. I'm not going to translate that for you. This is church. And then I said, and be cautious on your way out so the door doesn't collide with the anterior portion of your anatomy as you exit. And so I said, you know, and I just went off on him. And when I did, rawr, He turned, and this is the first time, I tell you, it's like I shook hands with the devil right then, because he looked at me and a smile came over his face, almost like, you're not all you're cracked up to be.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled A Different Drum by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of the message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until this same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.